How do you like the sound of a bank that's built for you, not the 1%? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, you should check out Chime. Chime isn't just another banking app. They unlock smarter banking for everyday people with products like MyPay, giving you access to up to $500 of your paycheck anytime and getting paid up 2 days early with direct deposit. They also don't charge an overdraft or minimum balance fee, so you're in control of how you spend your money. In fact, there's no monthly fee at all. Instead of charging you to use your own money, Chime actually turns everyday spending into real rewards and progress. It's the new way to build credit history with your own money and get rewarded every single day. Plus, you can earn up to 3% APY on savings, which is 7 times higher than a traditional bank. Several of my mates have already switched to Chime for their everyday spending, and they say that they have never felt more in control of their money. Chime is not just smarter banking, it's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. It just takes a few minutes to sign up. Head to chime.com/redhanded. That's chime.com/redhanded.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Starting something new can be exciting, but also terrifying. When we started Red Handed, we had no idea if anyone would actually want to listen to two mates who barely knew each other banging on about true crime for an hour. But nearly a decade later, I know in my heart and in my bum that we were totally right to believe in ourselves and launch that podcast from that weird kitchen, despite all of the horrifying fear. It also helps when you have a partner like Shopify on your side. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Gymshark and Mattel to those just getting started. You want people to learn about your brand? Shopify creates emails and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. It's like you've got a marketing team behind you, even if it's just you and your laptop, or maybe your cat. And if you get stuck, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. It's time to turn those what-ifs into today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That is shopify.com/redhanded.
This time of year, as I'm running from recording to meeting to catching up with my friends, I am so thankful for my wardrobe staples. Those things I can reach for over and over without having to constantly think about what I'm going to wear. Those items that elevate pretty much every outfit. And those that work for me on those days when the weather just won't make up its mind. And honestly, that's why I love Quince. Quince is all about elevated essentials that feel effortless. Everything is designed to mix, layer, and last, so that you're building a timeless wardrobe instead of chasing trends. I'm definitely eyeing up one of their 100% organic cotton sweaters. Everything is built to hold up season after season. The stitching, the fit, the fabrics. These pieces are ones you'll reach for over and over. And the quality honestly speaks for itself. Quince works directly with safe, ethical factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're not paying ridiculous brand markups. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/redhanded for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/redhanded to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/redhanded.
Hi, everyone. As you've probably heard, there have been a lot of developments in Ireland recently concerning the inquest into the mother and baby homes. If you don't know what a mother and baby home is, in Ireland it's where unwed mothers were sent to birth their children. While they lived at the homes, they worked for free. When their children were born, they were separated from them and sent back into the world. The baby would then stay at the home until it was old enough to leave, be adopted, or in a lot of cases, the baby would die. Worst of all, the women and girls, some as young as 12 or 11, who were sent to the homes, were told that the church was doing them a favour by dealing with the consequences of their sins for them. The last mother and baby home in Ireland closed its doors in 1998. This is far from ancient history, so don't be fooled. The most famous of the mother and baby homes is in Tuam in Galway. The deaths of 796 children that cannot be connected to any burial records were discovered by homegrown hero Catherine Corliss. You can hear the whole story in our episode. It's episode 96. It's called The Tuam 796. If you haven't listened to it, or if you need a reminder, go back and listen to that episode and then come back to me in this update. But if you're going to keep listening, this is what you need to know. Human remains were found at the site of an old mother and baby home, and it was strongly suspected that the dead 796 children that had no burial records had in fact been buried under the mother and baby home itself in a disused septic tank. Without Catherine Corliss, we probably wouldn't know that. A commission was put together to investigate this and the atrocities committed in the mother and baby homes in the name of the Lord all over Ireland. The commission has been working away at their findings for 5 years, and this week the report was revealed. And you will see everywhere that aspects of this report were leaked. It made it to the press before those affected by the report were able to see it for themselves. This has been described by Ireland's government as regrettable. So what does this report say? Essentially, it tells us what we already know. That's the real tragedy of mother and baby homes. Even though the Catholic Church and all sorts of orders of different types of nuns have said how shocked they are by the findings of this report, the fact is that they're lying. Everyone knew what was happening. No one cared. The narrative you will have come across when reading about this story up until now from politicians, clerics and civilians alike is that's just how it was back then. But you and I both know that 1998 hardly counts as back then. The full report collated by the commission was delivered on the 30th of October 2020. There were concerns that large chunks of the report would be sealed in archives for up to 30 years, which arguably could mean that survivors of the mother and baby homes would never get to read them. The government insists that this is to ensure that vital information is not destroyed when the commission is legally dissolved. But quite a lot of people are not sure that that's really the reason. According to the Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, there is now a database based upon the findings of the Mother and Baby Homes Bill, which has been developed to help people born in mother and baby homes to trace family members and heritage. However, some details have been redacted because they contain sensitive personal information. Significant portions of the report are not included on this database. And because they're sealed, we don't actually know what they are. The Retention of Records Bill proposed in 2019 by the Education Minister proposes to seal from the public every document gathered or made by bodies that have previously investigated or made payments to survivors of industrial and reformatory schools. This bill wants to seal those records for 75 years. That means that survivors can't get a hold of their own testimony ever. They'll die before their stories are public record. The Mother and Baby Homes Commission's archive is not included in this bill, but it doesn't seem like transparency or accountability for the tragedies of the state are at the top of anybody's list. Yet, politicians like the Education Minister Joe McHugh are insisting that this is to protect the privacy of the people whose lives are told in those documents. And maybe it is. But maybe it isn't. The Mother and Baby Home Report is now publicly available, well, the bits that aren't redacted, And you can go to our website for a link to that. I've put it in the episode description. And as I said earlier, the report, well, parts of it were leaked to newspapers days before it was intended to be published. And here is what the report confirmed. That significant human remains were found at the site of the mother and baby home in Tuam in Galway. That 56,000 women gave birth to 57,000 children in the 14 mother and baby homes and four county homes between 1922 and 1998. And of those 57,000 children, 9,000 died. That's one in seven. At Tuam specifically, it was confirmed that the structure under the site of the mother and baby home could be dated to 1937. And, quote, "It seems clear that many of the children who died in the Tuam home are buried in the chambers described." There were 20 of these chambers. The report denies that these chambers were specifically built as a crypt as, quote, "they did not provide for the dignified interment of human remains." The report also confirmed that it was, quote, "likely that the burials of the children in the chambers were on the orders of the sisters of the Bon Secours Order, who ran the home." The Order have issued a classically shocked statement. More than 900 children have been found to have died at the Besborough Mother and Baby Home in Cork, but we still don't know where most of those children, and no doubt babies, are buried. The Commission has only found 64 of these children's remains. More than 950 children were found to have died at the mother and baby homes in Dublin between 1920 and 1977. After their deaths, they were sent to medical schools for anatomical studies. The home babies, as they were widely known, were also sent to take part in vaccination trials without anyone's consent, least of all theirs or their mother's. The report identifies seven of these trials that took place between 1934 and 1973. Many home babies were sent to Catholic families in the United States, but the report doesn't confirm whether these babies were actually sold or not. Many suspect that they were. There was money changing hands. There are many more accounts in the report of the abuse that children and their mothers endured at the hands of the church in these homes. Some of the most stomach-churning include women and girls undergoing childbirth with no pain relief, whilst being verbally degraded and slapped by nuns who told them that this birth was a punishment from God for their very obvious sin. In putting this update together for you, I've been reading what's out there in the press, and I've collected a couple of survivor stories. Catherine Coffey O'Brien grew up in an orphanage and got pregnant at 16 years old. She was referred to the Besborough Mother and Baby Home in Cork by a social worker. She was told that she would live in a flat and go back into education while she waited for her baby to arrive. But as soon as a nun showed up, Catherine knew that she'd been tricked. There was no way she was going to give up her baby. But she had to go to the home anyway. At the home, Catherine was given a new name, and that was Jane. She was told never to reveal her true identity to the other women and girls in the home. Catherine was expected to polish floors and perform all manner of labours. The food was so terrible that many of the more heavily pregnant women lost their teeth to calcium deficiency. Catherine was reminded by the nuns every day that she was worthless and told, quote, "If you have a boy, we won't have a problem. We have beautiful families waiting for him. But if you have a girl, we will definitely have a problem." Babies under 10 kilos and mixed race babies were not deemed adoptable either, and they were sent to industrial and reform schools, the ones that may have their records sealed for 75 years. During her pregnancy, Catherine was injected by a mystery woman with mystery drugs and had endless amounts of blood drawn. No one ever told her why. Catherine managed to escape the home by running away and sleeping in a bush until she could make it back to the father of her baby's family. And even though she got out, she was terrified of doctor's appointments in case someone would find out where she had come from and send her back. The nuns did find her, but when they did, Catherine was engaged, so there was nothing they could do. Mary Harney was born in the Besborough home in 1949. She was told that her mother had died and was adopted by a local family. When Mary was 17, she found out that her mother was not only alive, but that the nuns had always known where she lived. There are thousands of stories like this, and I encourage you to go and read them. The Vatican has very graciously backed the campaign for the bodies of the children found at Tuam to be buried on consecrated ground, which seems very big of them. Archbishop Neri originally suggested that the septic tank the babies are buried in just be blessed by a priest and everyone move on. This was deemed by my personal hero, Catherine Corliss, to be completely unacceptable. So the dignified reinterment of the remains found in the tank at Tuam on consecrated ground has been described as a priority by the church. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has made a public apology this week, and here are some of the things that he said. I can't promise that they're in the right order. He said, "We embraced a perverse religious morality and control, judgmentalism and moral certainty, but shunned our daughters. On behalf of the government, the state and its citizens, I apologise for the profound generational wrong visited upon Irish mothers and their children who ended up in a mother and baby home or a county home. As the Commission says plainly, they should not have been there. Authority was not exerted and the state's duty of care was not upheld. The state failed you, the mothers and children in these homes. We did this to ourselves. We treated women exceptionally badly. One hard truth in all of this is that all of society was complicit in it." The apologies keep on coming. The head of the Catholic Church in Ireland, Archbishop Eamon Martin, has also apologised, saying, quote, "For the long-lasting hurt and emotional distress that has resulted, I unreservedly apologise to the survivors and to all those who are personally impacted by the realities the report uncovers. The Pope begged for forgiveness when he visited Ireland in 2018. Everyone is very sorry, but it's hard to feel like it's not too little too late. And the report itself has come under harsh criticism for being a bit of a cop-out. The Coalition of Mother and Baby Home Survivors have stated, quote, this report is fundamentally incomplete as it ignores the larger issue of the forced separation of single mothers and their babies since the foundation of the state as a matter of state policy. And I have to agree. The report actually reads, quote, there is no evidence that women were forced to enter mother and baby homes by church or state authorities. Most women had no alternative. So if you have no alternative, isn't that a type of force? And there does seem to be a hesitation to blame the state or the church for the mother and baby home atrocities. The finger seems to be pointing at culture at large, which to me feels a little bit like a giant extension of the "that's just the way it was back then" mentality. The homes were not owned by the state, but they were partially state-funded. And you would be forgiven for thinking that in certain periods of Irish history, the church and the state were fairly inextricable. Anna Corrigan heads a survivors group and is calling for the state and religious orders to take full responsibility for what happened. She also rejects the idea that women weren't forced into homes, saying, quote, they may not have physically done it, but the culture at the time left many families with no choice. I know of cases where pregnant girls were condemned from the pulpit by a parish priest, leaving them with no choice but to flee. I'm aware of another case where a parish priest called to a father's house and told him in no uncertain terms to get his pregnant daughter out of the parish. The father put her on the back of his bicycle and drove her to the Tuam home where she had her child. This kind of bullying and intimidation was happening all over the country, so don't tell me the hands of the Catholic Church were clean. Anna had two brothers in Tuam who have been reported dead. The younger brother, whose name is William, has no death certificate, and Anna believes it's possible he could still be alive in America. Everyone's very sorry, but what are they going to do about it? The victims of the mother and baby homes will be paid compensation. Apparently the government are expecting the church to pick up the bill on that one. The Department of Children and Equality is allegedly setting up a legal advice scheme for mother and baby home survivors. The Taoiseach has made a number of memorialisation, educational, research and national reflection commitments, saying, quote, we must learn the lesson that institutionalisation creates power structures and abuses of power and must never again be an option for our country. Throughout this report, former residents talk of a feeling of shame for the situation they found themselves in. The shame was not theirs. It was ours. A counselling scheme has also been set up, and a restorative recognition scheme promised. The National University of Ireland Galway has launched the Tuam Oral History Project, which aims to be survivor-led and a platform for survivors and an educational resource for children to come. The Home Babies report has been sent to Ireland's Director of Public Prosecutions to figure out whether there will be any criminal investigation. In an attempt to manage expectations, I expect, the Taoiseach has already said that this might be a little bit difficult because the report covers atrocities that happened over so many years. Brid Smith, who's the Taoiseach de Dáil, which means like Member of Parliament for Dublin South Central, has said sorry isn't good enough. She says, we've heard apologies many times before, but what's needed now is action. There are tens of thousands of babies that were abused, and there are thousands of thousands whose bodies are lying in the grounds of institutions all over this country. Smith is calling for a criminal investigation and assets of religious orders to be seized to reparate survivors. Amnesty International agrees and has called for a criminal probe, alleging that the state, not wider society, was primarily responsible. And Catherine Corliss, whose fearless campaign shed light on the whole thing, has distanced herself from the Catholic Church. Here's what she said. The nuns left in 1961. They left and closed that gate without marking the graveyard, and it's because they were illegitimate. How can I believe in a church that won't look after its most vulnerable? I don't want anything to do with the Catholic Church. It's a business. That's what it is. Catherine's dream is to meet the 796 babies whose names would never have appeared anywhere if it wasn't for her. She says she'd love to meet them. And, quote, I'd probably say it was a privilege. That's the latest Tume update for you. If anything else happens, we'll let you know. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.